Two more ads I forgot to do. Okay. One is we have this project to input all the Tibetan scriptures onto computer disk. We started 12, 13 years ago at Sera Monastery. And now we have centers all over India and in many of the major monasteries, and also centers for poor Tibetans, and especially concentrating on rural women to do computer work for us. So we employ 200 or 300 Tibetans. His Holiness's office has been very active in helping the project recently. And in South India, there are two computer centers in villages just dedicated to rural women. And they've actually turned out to be the best workers. They put out about 2/3 of our material. Anyway, you might want to look at this afterwards. Okay, this is a catalog of the almost 200,000 pages they've finished, okay, inputting. And then it goes out on CD-ROMs and on the web, and it's free. We don't charge anything. So especially if you're studying Tibetan or you're trying to learn Tibetan or translate scriptures, there's also a free program for viewing it and printing it in Tibetan. And you can look up just about anything you want. So like if you have a question about a scriptural reference or you're not sure about something, we use it constantly. We use it probably 300-400 times a day in preparing these classes and preparing the information for these classes. All the classes are based on the original translations, and they all come from the original data. So you can come up and look at that afterwards. If you'd like to help out with that, there's lots of things you can do, especially with the Rural Women's Project that we're trying to employ. I'd say about 75% of the women in the Tibetan villages in South India are unemployed. And so we get donations of computers from banks in the US. My students have brought suitcases this time loaded with computers, and we talked our way through customs in Varanasi. And that's how we do it. So if you'd like to help out with that, you're welcome with that. And also, classes like this are put on video, put on CD-ROM. They are transcribe, and then they're making them into books. Greg has been very active on making a web site. Like, you can see the Diamond Cutter video, and he's transcribed. He and the other people in Bendigo transcribed the whole course in Bendigo, and it's indexed. So if you don't remember about something, you just ask, and it looks it up. And he's got this cute thing where the Tibetan comes out off the board and comes at you and then goes down in the corner and sits there until that part's done on the video and stuff like that. So if you'd like to help with that stuff, talk to Greg, who's there, or talk to Matthew and Dennison, who are there. We also have a project going in Mongolia, which is now working with Lama Sopas, monks and nuns in Mongolia, and that's to have a free center where Mongolian people can study these courses. They're very intent on learning English, and the only place right now they can learn English is in the Christian schools. Hundreds of people came to us and asked us to have a school where they could learn English and Dharma at the same time. So we have a weekly TV show called Dharma English. Lama Sopa is now filming shows to be shown once a week. The last time we did a show, it was 5 days at night, and 500,000 people watched it every night. So if you're interested in working in Mongolia, teaching English, or helping out with that project, talk to Badbolt. He's right here. Okay, he's actually Lama Sopa's translator in Mongolia. He's been my translator, and a very fine person who's helping revive Buddhism in Mongolia after 70 years of being not allowed to do anything. Okay, so talk to them. Okay, all right. I'm just going to read you the questions from homework 10 and then answer them. We only have a very short class. I think we have to finish it with 10? Yeah. What time is it now? 10:05? Haha. Okay. 10-minute class. Okay. Number one, why do things change? And why do some things in our world cause other things? This is the question when you were a kid. This happened to me. A friend of mine was driving in a car with his mother. He sat in the right front seat. No, it was two guys. One was in the right front seat, one was in the left front seat. The car hit another car. One of my friends went through the windshield and was killed, and the other friend just walked away from it. So then you go to your mom and you say, why? Why? John go through the windshield and Terry didn't go through the windshield, okay? Why did John die and Terry didn't die? And then you get a list of answers from your mom, okay? Number one, Terry had his seatbelt on and John didn't, you know? And then, it starts earlier than that. They say, it'll be like this. Terry's head went through the windshield. And then you say, well, why? You know, why did he die? I say, well, his head was softer than the windshield and he died. You know, and then you say, well, why did his head go through the windshield? And they say, because he didn't have a seatbelt on. Okay? Went through windshield, right? You say, why didn't he have his seatbelt on? And they say, he got in later. Terry was in before, John got in later. He was talking, didn't put his seatbelt on. And then you keep asking your mother, you know, you keep asking and asking, well, why didn't he do it? And then finally your mother says, that's just the way it is. He got in on that side, okay? The car hit on that side. That's just the way it is, okay? So at the most crucial point where you want to know why something happened, your mom is telling you, that's just the way it is and don't ask about it. And then as a child, you stop asking after a while. You know, you get to all these questions, which I call how questions. Okay? How? He was talking. How? He didn't fasten his seatbelt. How? Then he went to the windshield. How? His head was softer than windshield. Then he died. But why him? You see what I mean? Why him and not the other guy? You know what I mean? And then your mom breaks down. And everything else breaks down to science breaks down, okay? Like you ask a scientist, Where does this thing come from? Evolution. Where did it evolve from? Monkey. Where did that evolve from? A lizard. Where did that evolve from? From a fish. Where did that evolve from? An amoeba. How come that got there? Because water and hydrogen banged into this planet. Why did that there? Because there was a big explosion. Well, what caused the explosion? You know, I have a scientist friend in my class in New York. I said, there must have been an explosion before the explosion, because there has to be something to cause the explosion. There has to be a big bang before the big bang. There has to be two big bangs. Then he came into this New York Times newspaper. He brought it to me. He's all excited. He says, look, the New York Times says there was a second big bang before the first big bang. I said, now you got to go back and look for the third one. You know what I mean? Because nothing comes from nothing, okay? Really, nothing comes from nothing. And when you get science into a corner and say, well, what's the real cause of everything? You know, then they break down. It just breaks down. That didn't have a cause. Science has to say, at the beginning, there was something that happened without anything to make it happen. Okay? And it all boils down to, it's exactly the same thing as your mother saying, Terry just got in on that side. And that's it. Don't ask me why. There's no answer to that. You see what I mean? These are the same people who told you everything had a cause. These are the same people that told you everything has an explanation. And then when you get down to the only thing that matters, which is why did John get in on that side, it's, I don't know. Don't ask that question. You know? Where did everything come from? I don't know. Don't ask that question. You know what I mean? National Geographic. I'm in Don Brown's house in North Carolina. I'm sitting with his dog, Yeshi. Don's got this big pile of magazines on his table, which I never get to read. So I'm like going through National Geographic's like three every night. And I get to this one on aging. And it has a fold-out, really gross fold-out. And it's a human body like that. And it has all these arrows pointing to the parts of you that get old. You know, and it's like liver rots, you know, arms lose their strength, you know, and then all these gross things that happen as you get old. And then at the bottom there's a note, this is how you get old. We don't know why you get old. You see what I mean? Really, you can check it out, look it up. And it's very honest for them to put that. You see, you've got to distinguish between how did the guy get killed in the car and why was it him? You see what I mean? They're always explaining to you how. They never explain to you why. Okay? Why? Why him? Okay? And that's karma. And you have to start having that worldview. That's Madhyamika. If you go on believing that diseases are caused by viruses, and that's why people die from diseases, you didn't get it yet. Okay? That's how they die from diseases. Okay? So here's the first question. Now you're better equipped to answer it. Why do things change? By the way, this is the big fight between the lower and higher Madhyamika, okay? The lower and the higher Madhyamika. Lower Madhyamika, I get the thing about the pen. I understand, okay? I understand that it's a, you know, that it's showing me parts and I'm labeling it parts. But when something works, when something causes something else, rangi tseni gedube gyushen le rangi tseni gedube debushen dupa, means the reason things works, that's self-existent. That comes from the things themselves. Don't tell me that the sun comes up in the morning because 5 billion people have the karma to see the sun come up in the morning. Okay, that's lower Madhyamika. Okay? They can't handle it. I understand the thing about the pen, but you're telling me that it writes because of my karma? Are you telling me that it runs out of ink because of my karma? Are you telling me that movement of things, the action of things, the way things work, the reason why the question says some medicines always work and some investment strategies are always successful? Why is that? Is that coming from their own side? Does the sun have some self-existence that other things don't have? Why is it that some medicines work all the time, like penicillin? Thank you. It doesn't work all the time. Okay. What I'm saying is, get this. You see, what the higher Madhyamika is saying, final class, okay? The final thing about worldview that you have to get. Even the ability of things to do something is a projection. Okay? The fact that medicine cures you has nothing to do with the medicine. Okay? Nothing. That's how you get cured. It's not why you get cured, and that's why penicillin stopped working. And that's why it didn't work before that. You know, before penicillin was discovered, it didn't cure anybody. Then after it was discovered, it cured people. And now suddenly it's starting to not cure some people. What's the how here? Some people got really nasty viruses that mutated when they got penicillin, and they're resistant, and those viruses are piling up. Wait, 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 don't tell me how. Why did they mutate? You see, why are they piling up? Why did it happen in 1997 or 1998? You see, are you telling me that penicillin's ability to cure doesn't even come from its own side? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. So you're telling me I shouldn't take medicine at all? No, I didn't say that. It works. Well, then why the hell does it work? Because you protected life in the past. And if you don't protect life, penicillin will stop working. Penicillin doesn't have any nature of its own. That's the emptiness of penicillin, okay? And you gotta get that, or you can't walk the middle path. You'll be off on that other path, okay? And you'll be running around to doctors when you should be saving chickens or something, okay? Should you still go to doctors? Of course. If they cure you, it's because you protected life in the past. If they kill you, which is the highest reason for people dying in the United States, they just revealed it, okay? It'll be because you didn't respect life in the past. Okay, the why is respecting life or not. The how is, details, okay? And that's all. Does it mean you shouldn't use penicillin if penicillin works for you? No, you should. But realize that why it works is because you protected life in the past, okay? That's all. So why do more people who go to a good doctor get cured than die? It's a very interesting question. I'll give you a short answer. You got to chew on it. The karma to be able to afford a doctor and the karma to get better are very similar. The lie doesn't cause the profit. The doctor doesn't cure you. More people who go to doctors get cured than who don't go to doctors, because the karma to have a doctor is similar to the karma of getting cured. Okay, you got to cook. You got to eat that. Okay. Let's see if there's any other interesting questions here. I'll do the last question, okay? You can only answer questions 1 and 5 on the last homework, okay? Sorry. By the way, all the other questions have to do with very technical matters about why most of the wrong ideas of the other schools come because they don't get this thing about how things work, okay? They don't get this thing about how things work. They don't understand that the sun does come up in the morning because 5 billion people are having a similar karma. Okay, that's true. Is a sun coming up? No. Are 5 billion people having the same perception of a sun coming up? Yes. Would the sun come up if they weren't there? No. Okay? There's a sun, there's the real sun coming up, then there's the sun coming up that 5 billion people see, and then there's the sun coming up that people don't see because they're in prison or in my office, we don't have any windows, and stuff like that, okay? So if you take away the sun that people see, 5 billion people see because they're standing outside looking to the east at that hour, and if you take away the sun that the people don't see, what about the real sun? There's no such thing. Cancel that middle one. There's no such thing. There's nothing between those two perceptions, okay? Now, there's somebody named Huashang. He always gets blamed for everything, okay? Some Chinese monk. Somebody told me Huashang means monk in Chinese, okay? Generic gets blamed for everything in Tibet. Okay, but, yeah.
Why karma? Why karma comes into the...
Say again?
Why when you do good things, you
get
good results?
Why there is karma? I'll say a little bit about it. I'll take a few questions in a sec. Hang on. Huashan had this viewpoint that if everything is empty the way you've described it, then nothing matters. You see, I mean, I heard this in a story by Joanna Woodward. Is it Joanna Woodward? Macy, sorry. That's an actress. Joanna Macy is a writer about Buddhism. And she said she was at a Buddhist conference at a hotel in California. And on the last day, somebody came down to check out. And, this is a conference about Buddhism and ethics or something. And she sets her suitcase down kind of hard, and it pops open, and all the hotel's towels fall out, And then she says, well, it's all empty anyway. You see what I mean? That's what we call Huashang view, okay? Very, very evil view, okay? Things are empty, therefore I can do what I want. And now that you know how emptiness and karma got married long ago, Mr. Karma and Mrs. Emptiness got married long, long ago, okay? They can't live without each other, okay? Without Mr. Karma around, emptiness doesn't mean anything. Without Mrs. Emptiness around, karma has no place to work. You see what I mean? Because your arm is a cylinder and empty of any armness from its own side, therefore you must what? You must be moral. You have to be moral. You have to keep your vows. You see? It's not the other way around. You know, there's three viewpoints on this. One is the following. And this is Huashang and it's crazy. Because my arm is empty, I can do whatever I want. You know, I'm a big tantrika, I can break all my vows, doesn't matter. I'm beyond that because I've seen emptiness, and in the realm of emptiness, all things are equal. So I can either commit these bad deeds or not commit these bad deeds, it's all the same, everything's equal. Okay, that is number one total wrong idea, okay? Then there's this other apologetic view of emptiness. It's true that things are empty, but things still work, okay? Like, I'm sorry things are empty, but don't worry. Things still work, okay? That's like a kind of a wimpy emptiness thing, okay? Now here's Arya Nagarjuna, Jetsun Kapa, Dalai Lamas, everybody else. Hey, things work because they are empty, okay? Not that they're empty and so they still work, don't worry. It's that they couldn't work if they weren't empty, all right? Things work because they are empty. And you can make this cylinder turn into a tantric deity's arm only for one reason. What? Because you got Buddha nature. And what's Buddha nature? The emptiness of your arm? Okay? The emptiness of your arm. The fact that it's the same as this cylinder. And don't forget it, okay? If you really understood the diamond cutter, if you really got everything we're talking about, then your whole worldview is going to change. Your whole world is potential. In the next 6 months, anything could happen. If you keep your vows well, which means every 2 hours, check that book. The book is a very nice thing. If you do it in groups, it's very good. Like, half the time I don't feel like doing it, they tell me to do it, okay? And then when they don't feel like doing it, I tell them to do it, and we cover most of the time. You see what I mean? And get a friend, get a buddy. Compare, if you live far away from other Buddhists, then compare notes every week or something, okay? I used to do it long distance. It was $99 from Thailand to check my book, you know? But do it, okay? And check them every two hours or so. And then the effect, and I'm talking small things. I move the cord to protect life, you know? And then do that every 2 hours or so, and you will see that things change. That's how things change. Because things are empty, okay? Because of the emptiness of things, all right? You got that thing? Elizabeth?
Yes, she's coming. Okay. It's about that time.
Yeah, I know. Is it exact? No. I'll take like two or three questions if you have. No? Nobody has any questions. Okay, here we go. Oh, okay, very quickly. How does karma get collected? I mean, very, very, very quickly, okay? Semba yiki le yino. Lele jikten nazoke deni semba dan deche. Semba yiki le yino. First three lines of the fourth chapter of the Abhidharma Kosha. Which means, when I give Rob the pen, and if I, insofar as I am aware of my arm going out, and as I watch the fingers open, and as I see the arm come back, and as I have a conception of something of mine becoming something of his, then the karma is recorded in my mind. You see what I mean? The lower schools, the Abhidharma school, says it's recorded by some cosmic photograph called Namarikche Mayimbe Le. But the higher schools say your own awareness of what you're doing is what plants the karma in your mind. And if the awareness is infected by a wish to do good, a wish to help someone, a wish to benefit someone, then the karma that comes back to you will be good. And the definition of good karma is any action, mental, physical, or verbal, which results in a desirable result for you, karmically. Okay?
Like that. Disawareness from where I come.
Say again?
Disawareness.
Yeah. The awareness plants it. Okay? Now somebody's going to come to you and say, well, when you walk across the grass and you step on 30 bugs and you're not aware of it, do you collect any bad karma or not? Okay? You have what we call a peripheral awareness, meaning if you get into this class and I say, how'd you get here? And you say, I walked across the lawn. And I say, did you kill any bugs? And you say, I don't know, but, you know, come to think of it, I did walk across the lawn. I probably heard something. That amount of awareness is the amount of bad karma that you have. And that plants that karma, okay? So mainly it's awareness and motivation, okay? There's a pavati yore, kya yore me? Kim into yore? Kajitiya ji yore seke? Due? Kavachins? Kajitik tida, demdere? She wanted to ask one question in Tibetan, she said. Ta rinpoche kajitin dire. Okay. Puyo tone te re.
Nanzo minje la ji puyo ra.
Nare.
Minje la ri puyo goyo kyunze. Minje ita gomba na ri puyo da.
Nasa, nare.
Puyo minje la puyo kiawa kayo me.
Nasa, nasa. She asked a question about mandala offering. Like when you offer, Purke Gyagore Inji Gyana Digribe. She's not listening anyway. Okay. Inji Gyana Digribe, Purke Gyagore. Purke Gyagore. Da mandala purigane, Zamling Chazan Chi Samlotang. Zamling Chazan Chi Samlotang. Right? Dine ngay in the Gorgor Chi Samlotang. Zamling Sayade. And ta rinpoche te, ane. Kurang ngone changne chi sangye ki shinkam chi gyurwa, rwa? Di sangye ki shinkam chi res, dan jikden dangne ya semjen tamje di sangye ca res chen, rwa? Ani di lama la pu, da di dambu, jindu matso gong ya pu ya di, da kirang chi suno na siya ki, ngenpa so chi re, trombo shena, rwa? Ani zamlin di cha san chi dape shinkam dup carwa chi, Kirana Pugyo, that church soon on us, said the Nail Dire, that Jela de Tanaki Mandala, said the Toji Chase Mandala, that younger Zamling Chatanchi, Samjan Tamje Dante, but the Bet Dabeshin Kamji race, Dupta race, the Nalia Sudan Suyena, Ted, the Kurdi Olias, Sudan Suyena, the Sangye Tires, the name Lamala Pu, the Mandal Mune Padre, okay? This way, okay. All right. One last question. Good luck.
You're saying the sun comes up because 5 million people all around the world have the karma to come that way?
Yeah.
And earlier, first class, you said that resources are not limited.
Yeah.
It's just your perception.
Yeah.
Now, how is it, can you just comment on that in relationship to
Yeah, talk about the sun coming up, 5 million people experience it, causing it to come up. And then what about the ecology and matters like that, and degradation of ecology? First of all, Buddhist monks and nuns, for example, are not allowed to cut a living tree without extensive ritual. You know, why? Because we're destroying the habitat of thousands of tiny creatures. When you cut a branch off a tree, said Lord Buddha, then you're destroying the environment of the place where all these beings live, and you can't do that. You know. Also, we're not allowed to use water without checking it for small creatures. Like the Vinaya says, when a group of monks goes to the side of the river to drink water, everybody should sit down. You should elect the most compassionate monk. He should take the tzak. This is the strainer that all monks and nuns were supposed to carry with them in the old days. You had your staff, your three robes, and your tzak, you know? And he should take his sock down to the edge of the water. He should wait. He should look and see if there's any little creatures he might kill. And then, you know, when this most tender-hearted monk is satisfied that no one's going to get hurt, he should scoop the water up really fast, you know what I mean? And And so, you know, Lord Buddha was very concerned about those issues. Karmically, if you destroy the place you're living, you live in a very lousy place for many rebirths. So, I mean, Buddhism is very sensitive to that. When I say that resources are limited, unlimited, I don't mean that currently. You see, I mean, currently, they are limited, and you have to share them responsibly with other people. And frankly, you know, people ask me, I had this guy in Australia, national radio, you know, how could a monk work in the cutthroat diamond business that takes advantage of all these poor people in Africa and India and other countries? How could you ever do that, you know? And I said it was quite simple. I took the entire proceeds and donated them to poor people in India. Are you going to do that? You know what I mean? And really, that's where it comes down to. You know what I mean? You have to be willing to share. The Pope got up in Giants Stadium in New Jersey. They don't even want to call it New York, New Jersey Giants. And he said, don't give your extra. Give your main part of your income to the poor. Don't give what you have left over. You know what I mean? And my Lama was watching it, and he was like, yeah, I like that. You know? Okay. So that's all. Yeah, ecology means the people who are destroying the world are us. They're the Westerners who, with 10% of the population, are using 80% of the resources. And if you want to stop it, just simplify your life. And you have to. But at the same time, you have to create a world that doesn't have limited resources, which is done by giving. And a nice way of giving would be not to demand so many resources that other people could share. And that's a very basic thing that everybody could do here. You could cut your life in half right now and not miss it at all. You know what I mean? And that would save, I don't know, 20% of the world's resources right away, you know, something like that. We have a responsibility to do that. And those of you who studied the Karma course in Kathmandu, Magla Sola Dunchik Chir, Tamje Chepa Boshin Sak means what? What was that thing about war? The guy who shoots the gun, who pulls the trigger, collects the karma of killing somebody. Everybody back home who supports the war effort collects exactly the same karma. Okay? And that's from Abhidharma, you know, 350 AD. It's the same with ecology. You know, if you're sitting there and consuming and consuming and consuming, knowing that it's causing poverty in India and other things, then you have a responsibility to do something about it, or else you collect the same karma as, you know, Union Carbide, who came here and poisoned all the people. You're the one who's using their products, and according to the Abhidharma, you're collecting the same karma as the manager of Union Carbide who forgot to pull a switch or something. You know? So that's a very heavy responsibility. So the world could have unlimited resources. You achieve it personally by being willing to give everything you have to other people. Okay. Okay. All right. I have a short list of people that I'd like to thank for this course. People think that the Root Institute is self-existent, that it just happened. And I was in a Dharma center for 20 years. I washed the dishes for 8 years. Just washed the dishes and cooked. I built some of the houses, you know. I cleaned the toilets. I dug the cesspools. And the thing is that people come, use the place, and they trash it and they go away, you know. And it's almost every Dharma center in the world. Anyway, you should try to think of the people who helped make this course happen and try to thank them. You know, they're sitting around here, and I'm going to name some of them. Trisha Donnelly, is she here? I don't know. Yeah. Thankless job, okay? Nobody thanks you. Everybody complains about something, okay? Tony Simmons, he's the ex-director who made the request. I'll make the list. You collab later. Okay. Kabir, who I don't know if you know, is very quiet and shy and actually purchased the land to have the Root Institute and help do the whole thing. He also did all the course materials and things like that. That's a lot of work, okay? That's like tens of thousands of pages to crank it out, okay? I can't pronounce your last name, Noel. Szymanski, is that right? Yeah. He's the guy who yelled at you. Jenny, Rowena, Paul, Brian in the office, Mandy in the kitchen. Tom Victor built a tent, and local kitchen staff are Himali, Alauddin, and Jitan. Okay. Then they threw more people. Annie Dachin and Annie Diana helped with the courses. Ben did the whiteboards from scratch. I don't know how he did it. Okay. Local staff, Vinod Driver, Shahid Rupan Punan, Ramlal, and Geeta. Okay. One more. Okay, and Ruby helped with the course materials. Also, I have a lot of assistants who, you know, they work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They break down every 2-3 days. and that's, I'd like to introduce Aura. Okay. Christy. Ian. Mercedes. Debbie Bai helps out sometimes. Rob. Ellie. And there's about 10 others here, okay, people who help, who help a lot. Last thing to remind you is that Christine Ruggieri's mother passed away last night, I think, a longtime Dharma student, and we'd like to dedicate the Lung tonight to her mother's, to dedicate that karma to her mother, okay? So bring your malas, do some Om Mani Padme Hums in the background while you're listening to the Lung, okay, tonight? All right. We'll do that for her. Anything else? I don't think so. Oh, there's this lady. okay, anyway, Elizabeth Prather was the big one from New York, and Fran Diane, who's quietly sitting there. Okay. Okay. Mr. Shai is going to come up.
So this will be words from Root Institute, who it's been an interesting experience for many of us, all students who are used to Tibetan geshes on thrones and geshes and all the rest of it. So I think some of our worldview got changed a little bit over the last 2 days. This is the first event like this that we've had at Root Institute since the days of Kriti Sensei Rinpoche teaching in a tent. But this is extremely different and very inspiring in its own way, and incredibly inspiring because we have someone from the West and someone who's gone through all of it and someone who shared their experience very openly from the heart. That is something to be treasured, not just from the head, but from the heart. So I think many of us old students appreciate you that. Anyway, thank you all very much who came every day and made this possible.
There's a custom at the end of a sweet teaching. First of all, I like also to thank you because every time I teach, I learn more. And I know why you're making me teach. So everything's coming along, a little slow, but it's okay. And I'd like to thank you for that, okay? That's all I think. Thomas.
For people who would like to make offerings to Geshe-la or offer profits with him, or just say hello, you can do that after the Lung at the Bodhi tree. Not today, please. Not right now. After the Lung at the Bodhi tree. It will be today.
Okay. Thank you. And there's a little surprise at the Lung, so they're going to come. Okay.
That's enticing.
Oh. We have a custom not to prostrate at the end, because it means we have unfinished business together, and we'll do it in the future. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Please dedicate it to the long life of our lamas, okay? Lama Sopa, His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, the incomparable Kensa Rinpoche, Geshe Losan Pajin, and all the other lamas.